This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Guts Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutschurch.com.
Hey, we're going to get in the Word. How many guys were here last Sunday? How many guys were here last Wednesday? This is Wednesday again. How many guys are going to be here this Sunday? Okay, listen. Sundays, it's a series, and I'm really trying to stay on track. It's hard to because things expand as we get in the Word. Do you guys ever notice that? Bill, you ever notice that? You get in the Word. Hey, let's welcome everybody at Skytook, Guts Church Skytook. You guys want to? Let's welcome, welcome, welcome. But listen, we get in the Word, and it's like, oh my gosh, it just grows. Man, it just is amazing to me. So what I'm doing, I thought I could do a 2-week little mini series on how to be led by the Spirit of God, just being led by God's Spirit and just hearing God's voice. Because when we hear that from people, you know, there's people that'll say, you know, God told me to do this. And you're like, really? Like, please explain that to me. That's not, listen, there's no rationale to that. There really isn't. Okay? It's a still small voice that God speaks to us. And listen, and what we do, it's essentially an inner witness. And it's a still small voice that, listen, that we hear and another voice we don't follow. And once you tap in to God speaking and listen, it'll sound like His promise. It'll sound like His word. That's how He's going to lead us. The Holy Spirit now, Jesus said He'd send another comforter, that which is the Holy Spirit. Listen, But that comforter is the Greek word paraclete, and it's directly translated another guide. I'm going to send you another guide. What did Jesus say to His disciples? What was his invitation for those guys is, hey, follow me, right? Hey, follow me. Hey, let's go. Come on, hook it up. Let's go. That's what He did. And you know what? He said, look, I'm going to send another one of these that you can follow. And that's what the Holy Spirit, it's who the Holy Spirit is in our lives now. He's another guide. And listen, and what Jesus said is that we not only are blessed, but super blessed because we believe yet haven't seen. And we're all looking for a, you know, that, especially as new believers. You know, we're looking for that kind of Shekinah glory presence, like there's a cloud or smoke or a flame or fairy dust or, you know, there's people that are looking for some kind of dove feathers and things like that. And we're not looking. We just need to find it in God's Word. What God's Word is a more sure word of faith, more sure word of trust. See, so it brings me to the place that in this, how this works essentially is when we're on the team, and that's what Jesus did. The first thing Jesus did, His first assignment on the earth is He built a team. He picked up 12 relatively young men. And you know, it's interesting because the young men that He picked up were men that, man, they weren't accomplished theologians. Man, they were fishermen. There was a doctor. There was a tax collector. Man, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Man, a tax collector came in. Man, a hater of the synagogue. And you know, a tax collector. And let me explain to you. He wasn't just collecting the Roman taxes. He was collecting from the Jews. He was collecting the Roman taxes plus his pay, which increased it to the Jews. So they paid even more. So they didn't like this guy. See, and this is, so Jesus built a team. And you know what's interesting? Those guys, Peter didn't like it that Matthew was on the team. But you know what? So you look around and you're thinking, you know, I didn't get the pick. I remember I didn't feel like I fit into the team initially when I became a Christian. But you know what? I don't get to pick the team. God does. See, and that's what we have to understand. God is handpicking people that, you know what? Man, if you look in your natural abilities, you look at the people, you're like, how's this going to work? And I'll tell you what Paul said, look around, look, there's not many noble among us. You know, and that's why we have to be careful. That's why Paul said, man, you all who are rich, you guys that are wealthy in here, man, don't let that wealth be your signature. Don't let that wealth be your identity. Man, just like the poor guy, let Christ be your identity. And then when that's the case, see, when Christ is your identity, Christ in you, the hope of glory, you begin to hear from God. When your identity is your athletic ability, your business acumen, your whatever it might be, other than that, your education, your intellect, then it's very difficult to hear from God. But when your identity is in Christ, man, you begin to hear from God. And what God, the whole idea of this team is that we grow. And I'm telling you, the primary function of church is to help to gather people in, to collect people in, and to grow. To get people in to be able to grow. So I want to ask you, are you growing? You know, because I think a lot of times the growth that we get is we feel like we're moving, but are we moving sideways? Are we just laterally? Are we just kind of, how many of you guys have changed jobs sometimes and you think, man, I just made a lateral move. It was just a change of scenery. It's the same pay, it's the same kind of thing, it's kind of dull, but just lateral. Well, that's what I believe most people in the church do. Man, you get in and you're gung-ho about it. You want to be on every team you can be on. You want to serve in every capacity you can. You can't get enough of it until you've had enough of it. And you know what? That's where Jesus talked about returning to your first love. Man, you guys have to understand something. Some of you guys will say, man, Shear, you're kind of that in there, in your face guy. You're kind of you're so direct up there. And it's like, man, you don't know direct until you see the Shear in his first love. Man, in my first love, it's like, hey, man, you got to shake that off. Man, just like that snake that latched a hold of Paul, you know what? He just shook that thing off. Well, that's what we have to do, the serpents that are in our life. And see, that's my first love where it's like, oh, my gosh, we need to rip through the world and just win it to Jesus. Man, that's my first love. And you know what Jesus keeps reminding me is to return to my first love. To be who God's called me to be. And you have to look at where you are right now. And in with the whole idea of growth, can you think in terms of growth for a second? Because if you're not growing, man, the alternative is horrific. It's either growth or death. And it's like that with a tree. It's like that with any animal. Man, if they're not growing, they're dead. And see, we have to look at our lives now, and it's like, how did I get here? Where I am right now? How did I get where I am? And you know, with me, I love where I am, but I'm just telling you, I have an insatiable appetite to grow. You know, it boils down right now where I am, the season of my life. There's three things. Number one, to be a great leader, not just a leader. I'm just telling you, you guys in here, you guys that are just faithfully serving God and, man, shaking off the offense that the enemy tries to throw up so it's glaring for people are offensive and you want, and every fiber in your flesh wants to be offended and you shake it off. Man, do you guys, you don't deserve leadership. You don't deserve just a leader. You deserve a great leader. And I'm telling you, that's my heart. Number one is to be a great leader. Number two, to be a tremendous competitor. Man, I'm telling you, I'm gonna get out in front of every disease and every bit of poverty and that's why I'm telling you, I love to speak at Friday Groceries. Any of you guys been to Friday Groceries? Man, to speak at Friday Groceries, it's all just about, for me, man, I get up in front and say, let me just tell you something. Man, draft off of me for a minute because we're going to get out in front of this poverty and all the stuff that's in your life that's holding you back. And see, it's a tremendous competitor. Man, and then to just get to the point where for me, the third thing is just a ravenous attention to detail. Man, the little foxes that normally spoil the vine, the little things that we walk by and the average people don't notice it. Man, I want to notice it. I want there to be an attention to detail in my life, in my walk, in my study, in my preaching, in my coming, in my going, no matter what, an attention to detail. And I'm telling you, my personality is ready, fire, aim. Let's go. It really is. And I'm an action guy. I'm a doer. I'm not much of a thinker sometimes. I'm not going to think my way out of doing things. I get frustrated with that. Pastor Sandy can tell you. Man, there's times where it's like, Bill, have you thought this through? And it's like, I need to, but if I do, we're probably not going to do it. Because so much of what's in my heart is such a big risk and such a big leap and such a, oh my gosh, let's do it. Let's do it now. Man, let's seize this day. What if Jesus comes back? Man, I don't want to play my cards close to the vest. And Jesus is going to come back tomorrow? What if he does? What if he comes back tonight? What happens to some of our family members and friends? What happens to all those guys I played rugby with in the early 80s around town? Man, I got to get to those guys. I got to reach those guys. Man, we've got to build a church that is so impressive to the heathen that are dismissing church that they have to come check it out. They have to come and see. And then, you know what? You have that attitude. Man, people that you're inviting Sunday and you're saying, man, just come and see. You've got to see this for yourself. I love that when we have visitors here. Man, there's pastors, there's preachers, there's people come from all over the country. And I'll say, man, I didn't know you were coming. If I did, we'd had breakfast for you or whatever. He goes, no. I just had to come and see it for myself. Oh, my gosh. Isn't it awesome to be a part of a church like that? People just want to come and see because let me tell you, the rebound off that attitude is, now I'm going to go and tell. See, and that's who you've got to be. You got to go and tell. I got to tell somebody. Man, I'm telling you, I went through those times in my life, the early hours and years of Christianity for me. It's like, look, I've just got to tell you how great God is. I've got to tell you that, man, you could give your life to Jesus. And let me tell you, there's still going to be turmoil. There's still going to be stuff. There's still going to be crap that happens in your life. But if you give your life to Jesus, let me tell you, you can overcome anything. No matter what your enemy is, no matter what that you face, that you can win. And you know something? What I believe, and I'm just telling you, this is a word of the Lord for everybody in this room, everyone at SkyTook and watching on the internet, that God has put something inside you to win every day. No matter what it is you face. Because let me tell you, there's going to be something popping up tomorrow. There is. There's a devil. There's an adversary. And he's seeking whom he may devour. Man, I want to raise kids. I want to have friends. I want to have relationships in my life that we are so thick-skinned, tough-skinned that it's going to, man, chomp on this. Try to, you can't do it. Man, our skin's got to be lead-lined. Man, we're not devourable. Man, we're not going to stop because the enemy wants to flare up a little bit and try to depress us. I don't want to be suppressed. I don't want to be depressed. I don't want to get oppressed. How many times have you been oppressed in the last year? Because let me tell you, that's how it works. How it works, there's multiple stages for a Christian. Stage one, and I believe this is where 90% of the people probably listening to or watching this right now, 90% of the people are in a suppression. And then there's probably a third of the people that are in a depression. And then there's probably 5, 6, 8% of people that are in an oppression. And that depression is just kind of, you just have to deal with a bully. Oppression, it's on you. It's on top of you. It's sitting on your head. You lay down, it's like an anvil on your chest. Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever been in that place where it's like, I got to get this anvil off my chest? Man, the first year we moved into this building, man, I was sure. I'm telling you, we looked for property for our church for 2.5 years. This was the first property we looked at and the last property we looked at in 2.5 years, a few times a week. I knew every available space that could be converted into a church in this area. And here's this church right here. Here's this building right here, this property right here. As a matter of fact, it was two separate properties. I had bought one house in my life. And here I was making a deal on two properties. And we closed on these two properties at the same closing table. which was shocking because everybody was busy and nobody, all these lawyers are there. And the next thing you know, I'm walking out thinking, dear God, what have I just done? Man, the whole first year, we operated as a church with a $20,000 a month deficit. Now try to reconcile hearing from God or being led by your spirit for that year if you're Bill Shear or Sandy Shear. And we got to put on a face. I got up and preached my fool head off, man. People came to Jesus. We moved about 3/4 of a mile. That's how far the church moved. Really, no turns. I mean, once you got on 41st Street, you just, I'm telling you, you just go straight for about 3/4 of a mile. And you know what? There's people that didn't make the move. It was like, where are these people? Why, are you kidding me? This is an upgrade. Do you understand? We didn't start this thing with a building fund. We didn't get guys that say, hey, what can we count on you for? How much of this mortgage do you want to take? How about you sell your yacht and you buy this wing of this building? There wasn't anything like that. We just moved. And you know what it was like for me? What I didn't get, I'm like, God, how many of these people would get on an airplane, a stuffed airplane, because that's what that building was that we were in before. It was stuffed. If you got there like you want to get here now, right before the service starts, and you find a nice little parking place, you're out by the ditch in the gravel if you come then. You're parking across the street at the country bar. But you know something? We moved. And you know what it was like for me? It's like you get on a stuffed airplane. How many of you guys have been in a stuffed airplane? How many of you guys dream of that flight attendant coming over and saying, excuse me, you look like a good guy. Would you like to move to first class? How many of you guys would make that move? Can I see your hands? And there's people that didn't make that move, and it just, I didn't get it. And I remember being in my office saying, God, why didn't you tell me I was missing you? Why didn't you tell me that this is crazy? What am I going to do? I know they can't eat you, but I'm telling you, I got gravy poured all over me. I'm not sure this is going to be a great day. And you know what? I had this businessman that knew that Jesus' initials were JC, and that's it, that had been to church here a few times. He had he'd gone through some things. I think he'd filed bankruptcy. So he just started hanging out in the office. And it was cool for me to have somebody that I didn't have to pay because we had a $20,000 a month deficit in the office. And one day I'm sitting in my chair, and he said, what's up? I said, I don't know. I don't know what to do. He said, what are you talking about? And he said, I said, man, what, do I let the staff go? What do we have a trying to stay in business sale? What do we do? We've got a few projectors. We've got some old hand-me-down chairs. He said, what do you do? You don't know what to do. You don't know what to do. It's a guy that didn't, I mean, this guy literally bumped into Jesus on the street one day, and that's it. That's all. He had nothing. And he bumped into, and he's in my office, and he's looking at me, and I'm looking at him, and he's like, what do you don't know what to do. He said, you do what you say you do. You trust God. You take a stand of faith. You walk out there and tell that staff that you're an overcomer. And I did. And you know what? Everything turned around like that. And it's like, God, I'm not concerning myself with money ever again. And I'm telling you, it's been 12 and a half years since I have given a thought about money. And see, I'm just saying this, that when we go through these things, man, we've got to grow out of these things. We've got to grow from the experiences that we have. Man, we got to make sure that we're not going sideways. We're not taking a lateral move. Man, we're taking an upward move. We're advancing. We're the people of God. Man, I think about one of Sandy's favorite verses. I would have lost heart if I hadn't believed that I'd see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Man, that's where God's called us. So you guys want to get in the Word tonight? Let's get in the Word a little bit tonight. No more sideways, no more lateral moves in our life. How many of you guys will commit to that? How many of you guys commit? Let me tell you, let's build something in 2014 personally for ourselves so we can be better at serving God. Man, let's build ourselves up and our faith level and our trust level be through the roof. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter in the 11th verse, Paul writes and he says, and God himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. That's a mouthful right there for everybody that's thinking, you know, I'm here to be served. No, you're here to serve. I get the whole idea of, but you're here to volunteer. You're here to serve. You're here right now to be equipped to go out and take the light to the darkness. And that's what service truly is that we're taking the light to the darkness. For the equipping of saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, our building up of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. Now listen to this. That right there is sufficient enough and makes the point. But you know what the next phrase is? To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is growth. To the measure of the stature to the fullness. Man, I'll tell you, I want to be as big as I can be in him. I want him to be as big as he can be in me. And see, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then bump to verse 16, and it says, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, and it causes growth to the body for the edifying or building up of itself in love. And notice that, and if you would, just circle the last two words of that scripture, in love, and it's going to tie into the next scripture that we go to. But see, that's the whole point, that we get to this love level in what we do. And see, you look at people. I look at the Van Valkenburgs who serve tirelessly, don't they, Sandy? I mean, they're here at every service. They're here at every event. They're happy to be here. Somebody could have just kicked them in the shin, and they got a smile on their face. And she could have just whipped them at the golf course, and he comes in jovial and happy and masking the discontent, the issues that he's got because of that. But he just comes in with a great attitude. And write this in your notes: attitude is everything. Check your attitude. What does your face look like when no one's looking? It probably looks bored and disinterested, malcontented. Man, I'm telling you, let's force a smile. But it's edifying. It causes growth of the body. That's what the whole thing. Man, God's given gifts. He's given ministry gifts for why? To cause growth. That's why we serve. Why we serve, why the Houston serve, why Sandy serves is to cause growth. Man, cause growth. To what? To the body, to the team, to the overall effort, to the cause. Man, you look at how many moving parts are in this church. You look at how many paths and avenues and conduits and channels and canals there are of the gospel of hope being spread throughout our community. Oh my gosh, it's touching every nook and cranny. Man, I don't know that we could talk about the four corners of the earth, the gospel being preached, until we preach it in the four corners of our community. Man, let's get to them. And see, that's what it causes growth, but it's in love. And you know what love is? It's not selfish, not preferring ourselves. Man, temperate, kind, mild-mannered. Man, moderate in our attitudes. In 2 Peter, the first chapter, and this is going to be revolutionary for you, okay? I'm gonna kind of switch to a teaching mode here for you, and I believe it's going to revolutionize how you've at least looked at this book here from Peter. But 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence. And just stop here. Just think about that word diligence. How, on a scale of 1 to 10, how many of you guys are taking notes? Can I see your hands? Okay, on a scale of 1 to 10 in your notes, I want you to write down the number that would rate your diligence. Okay, because let me tell you where Peter wants you, at a 10. He says, giving all diligence. Do you see that? Add to your faith, your trust, virtue. To add to your trust virtue. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? Jesus said, who touched my virtue? Man, what God's put on the inside of me, my gifting. Man, add to your trust that gifting. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. Okay? I'm going to break this down. Okay? Man, we're going to school. How many of you guys are ready to learn? How many of you guys are ready to open up your heart and get this? Man, this is something you got to have. I mean, you got to be ready. Man, you might be coming out of your break and you make that cut. Your hand's got to be ready because the ball's going to be there. You got to be ready to catch this, okay? So here we go. All diligence, a 10 in diligence, attention to detail. Man, drive, passion. That's the sheer translation of diligence to faith. Faith is just simply trusting God no matter what I see. Trusting God no matter how I feel. Add to all diligence, number one, trust. And it goes from there. And to trust, all diligence to virtue. I am saved by it to be able to walk in it. Jesus, who was without sin, so Jesus was already in that place that we get saved to. Do you agree, Steve? Does that make sense? Jesus is already in that place. So now I'm saved by it. So Jesus was walking in it. I'm saved by that virtue to walk in that virtue. Okay? So add to my diligence walking in that gifting, walking in that virtue. Nehemiah, man, he was gifted to rebuild that wall in, what was it, Eric, 52 days? Somebody help me. Is that right? Glenn, are you with me on that, son? It's about that? Thanks for the help. Does it sound right to you guys? It sounds right to me, but now I'm thinking maybe it doesn't, okay? So Scott's confident. Scott's sure. Is that your final answer? Okay. So here's Nehemiah, gifted to rebuild that wall, 52 days. He's got that trowel, he's doing it, and he's got a sword in the other hand, because anybody tries to take him off that wall, I got the word to fulfill the call, the gifting that's in my life. And you know what? They came to him, they said, hey, Nehemiah, there's some people that want some peace talks, and you know what? That's why you're building that wall anyway. So instead of building that wall, why don't you come down and do these little peace talks? Why don't you come down and we'll negotiate this? And you know what Nehemiah said? I don't negotiate. I'm going to finish. Why would I come off this wall? I am doing a great work. I'm not coming off this wall. Well, let me help you. That's virtue. Okay? Faith, virtue. The third one is knowledge. Knowledge here isn't just being able to recite the books of the Bible in order. Okay? Anybody wants to do that, we'll get you a gold star and put it on your chore chart, okay? But that's about all that's worth for you, all right? They have an index in that Bible. We can find it. We can get there, okay? But I'm just telling you, that's not what that knowledge is. What knowledge is an intimacy with God's word, that you have an intimacy with God's promise. That's Scott, are you getting that? An intimacy with the promise of God that's in your life, okay? That's what that knowledge is. Where you know you've got that knowledge, where it's like, you know what? Oh my gosh, I'm short of breath. Oh my gosh, it could be something. What am I? And he's like, whoa, wait a minute. No, hold it. I got this. Hang on. God, I just thank you for the virtue. And then you know what? Man, the word, what it does, it stirs that virtue up in you. Man, and then it's like it's just leaking out of you like it did Jesus with the woman with the issue of blood. Man, she just brushed the hem of his garment, and man, that virtue flowed. But why? Because Jesus had an intimacy with God's promise. The next one is self-control. Self-control. I hope you're making a list here. And if you're not, it'll be on the internet but later. But just right now, I hope you're writing this down. But self-control, you guys, it's not just, well, I'm not gonna eat that fourth piece of pie. I'm not gonna do it. I have self-control here now, okay? No, self-control is a freedom from sin. I'm free from sin. And you know what? You might say, oh, really? What are you, Superman? Matter of fact, I am. Yes, I am. Because what Paul said? Paul said, look, you can walk on this earth as a mere man. And the alternative is, wait a second, we can walk on this earth not as a natural man, but as a supernatural man. Man, that's what the Bible promises. You guys are with me on that? Do you agree with that? Man, there is that. So self-control is simply free from sin. I've got a freedom from sin. Man, how many of you guys know how to sin? Can I see your hands? How many of you guys, do we need to have a class we need to show people how to get poison ivy. What we're going to do is we're going to take them out in the woods and we're going to let them roll around in it. We're going to let them wallow in it. You got to strip down to your skivvies and roll in that, and you got to take it. And you know what? Do it. The older boys in my neighborhood, I didn't do it, but they said, hey, Shear, you get poison ivy? And I said, yeah, I get it sometimes. They said, you know what? If you eat a leaf of that poison ivy, you'll never get it again. I'm like, I'm not eating poison ivy. But see, we're free from sin. That's what self-control is. But now we go back to it. What was the title of this list? All diligence in self-control. See, I've got to be diligent about my self-control. So you know what? I'm not going to those places that I know. I was walking to get my mail. I've been a Christian a few months. I'm going to Bible school. I was free. I hadn't done any drugs in months, 3 months. I was free from them. I'm good. I'm walking down the sidewalk. I got my mail. I'm walking by. I walk by this apartment, and this billow of marijuana came out of that door. And I'm walking like this. I'm a man of God. I might have just even studied the word. I'm walking by. I think I might have even been praying in the spirit. Hootie tootie, hoodie rooba dooba. And I got to that door, and that billow of pot came out. It was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah. I stood by that door like this again. My people. No, I didn't. I went back to my, I went, God, I'm so sorry that marijuana smelled good, God. I'm so sorry. I've sinned, God. I shouldn't like that anymore. No, but you know what? I didn't sin. I was just tempted. Temptation's not sin. It just feels like it. See, so you get into a tempting situation, God, you got to be diligent about self-control. Does that make sense? I know there's men in the room, so I've got to drive this point home. Man, the next one's perseverance. I love this one. Man, I love the guys, and I love Eric English, that no matter what, he's going to persevere. I could count on Eric that he's going to persevere. Roger Walsh is going to persevere no matter what. I'm telling you, no matter what gets thrown at him, no matter what he's got to deal with, you know what he's going to do? He's going to persevere. So you got to be diligent in perseverance. Never quit. Never say die. Never cry uncle. I'm just telling you, you may not have grown up on the side of the tracks I grew up in. That was a daily test of my character. I don't know why every kid in my neighborhood was 2 or 3 years older than me. 4 years older than me. And I was a punching bag. I was like a piece of chewing gum every day I'd come home. They'd say, hey, Bill, you go get washed up and you go to bed. It's like, yes, I'm going to bed. I've been abused all day. But it's like this. They get you down. Say uncle. Come on, say uncle. Now we call it tapping out, right? Is that what this is? That's why I'm doing that. I'm trying to connect. I'm trying to be current. But it's just when we don't say uncle. That's all perseverance is. I'm not saying uncle. I'm not gonna cry uncle. And it gets us to the last three: godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Do you see how it shifts? It shifts from everything that we can be diligent, that if we can be diligent in this list, getting to the last three is where God takes over. And it's interesting that perseverance goes to what? What's the next one? Perseverance goes to godliness. Oh, if I don't quit, oh my gosh, godliness starts flowing in my life. And it's God. Are you guys here? Are you breathing? Godliness starts flowing in our life. It's like I'm walking in a level of godliness. Why? Because I just didn't quit. Why? Because I wanted to with everything in me. Brotherly kindness. It's like, wait, you know what? Josh, I'm giving you a pass for that. It's not that big a deal. You're my brother. I don't care what happens. Man, I'm just telling you, you're a little late. You know what? And you know what brotherly kindness is? You have taken on an attitude, which is everything, right? Did we cover that? Brotherly kindness is, I'm unoffendable. Do you know you can't offend me? You can tick me off. You can be offensive. I'm just not suffering your offense. I'm not allowing myself. You're not responsible for how I feel. You know how people say, well, you know, when you didn't say hi to me. You know how that made me feel? I mean, really, there ought to be, there. And I know that there's not a social platitude for this, but we ought to just be able to say, hey, get over yourself. You know how you made me feel when you said that? I'm telling you, don't let other people have responsibility for how you feel. Man, that's where blood, and brotherly kindness is, you know what? I'm over it already. I'm past it already. I'm unoffendable. And it gets to what? The greatest of these is, it's always love, not seeking their own, unselfish, undeterred, man, not trying. For in these things are yours and abound. You will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. See, because sin consciousness just stalls growth. Some of you guys don't raise your hands, but you're so distraught about the sin that has been in your life, the stuff you have experienced and done and participated in. And you know what? That sin consciousness needs, you need to replace that identity of sin consciousness to a Christ-centered consciousness. It's like, wait a second, he's in me now. Wait a minute, he's in me now. I've got a hurdle. Okay, it's great. It's easy. I'm an overcomer because the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, finish it for me, dwells in me. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Come on, Skytook. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. I can overcome. Verse 10, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. Try to talk me out of the call that's on my life. Try to dissuade me from knowing that I know that I know that God has called me. You can't. Why? Because I've given my life to these disciplines, to these diligences, that we've got to be diligent. For if you do these things, are you ready for this? Brandon, you ready for this? You do these things, you will never stumble. Shoot. No excuses. No explanations. I don't have to stumble again. How many of you guys enjoy stumbling? How many of you guys are walking on the sidewalk with all your people and you stumble? There's a crack in the sidewalk and it might be unlevel and you trip on that. You get a little trip point and you stumble and people are like, He can't even walk down the sidewalk. What an idiot. No, you'll never stumble. Verse 11, and this is the end. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. An entrance will be supplied to you abundantly, super abundantly, into the everlasting kingdom. God's way of doing things in your life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm gonna speak this over your life now, okay? An entrance will be supplied to you super abundantly in the everlasting kingdom, God's way of doing things in your life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, you study this, you get this in you, you catch this, it's a whole new ball game. And let me just tell you what God wants you to do. God wants you to become the leader in your life that you can be because of his word in you. This word right here turns you into a leader in your life. It does. And you know what a leader will do? The words from the great and humble Roger Walsh, you'll be able to impose your will on your circumstances and your situations. You'll be able to impose God's will on your debt, on your sicknesses, on your grievances, on the things that haven't been fair and undelivered in your life. I'm telling you, the thief will have to repay it seven times. It's time for you to begin to impose the will of God that's on the inside of you, the call that's on your life, on your circumstances and situations. God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for who you are. God, I thank you earlier in the night we prayed and confessed Jesus. And God, I thank you that every person in here that prayed that, God, I thank you, has the ability to have that entrance into your everlasting kingdom, your way of doing things in our lives. God, I thank you right now, God, that you bless every person in this place. God, that nobody leaves here the way they came in. God, thank you for who you are and what you're about in our lives and the people around us' lives. God, I ask you tonight to expand our reach. Reach more people, God. Help more people, God. God, I thank you for health and prosperity and deliverance and salvation to come upon the people, God, where we can cast that net. A catch so great that it'll be net splitting and boat sinking. God, I thank you that you project your will on every person in this place, that we can be those people who never stumble. God, thank you for your presence in this place and the opportunity you've given us, God, to grow most of all in you, God. Wisdom, stature, and knowledge of who we really are in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I'm going to ask Scott Houston to close the service. And at the end of that, if you need prayer for anything, we're going to open up the altar and have elders and ministers up here to pray with you, minister to you. If you came in here and your life wasn't right with God, we prayed earlier, and if you confessed that, if you said, man, Jesus is Lord of my life and who I trust, and man, I'm telling you, that's it. You're in. You went from being lost to found. Now all you have to do is remain. Now all you have to do now is be a part of the fruit that remains in this ministry. But listen, to be able to grow. Man, God loves you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Guts Church podcast. For more information on service times, please visit gutschurch.com.